Hello, this is Amy Medling, and today we'll be mapping PCOS with mindset on the 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-minute matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today on the 15-Minute Matrix, I'll be talking with my friend Amy Medling. Amy is author of Healing PCOS and a certified health coach, and she specializes in working with women with polycystic ovarian syndrome who are frustrated and have lost all hope when the only solution their doctors offer is to lose weight, take a pill, and live with their symptoms. In response, Amy founded PCOS Diva and developed a proven protocol of supplements, diet, and lifestyle programs that offer women tools to help gain control of their PCOS and regain their fertility, femininity, health, and happiness. And today, as Amy said, we'll be mapping PCOS with mindset on the 15-minute matrix. Welcome, Amy. I'm so glad to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You are the PCOS diva, and I really am excited to dive in with you today to talk about PCOS and mapping PCOS with mindset. I'd love for us to start just by talking about the symptoms that we most commonly see and think about that are related to polycystic ovarian syndrome, and then the symptoms that we might not be as aware of. Would you be willing to start us out there?
Sure. So I think most people think of a woman with PCOS as dealing with sort of those elevated androgen symptoms. So things like acne and hair loss and hirsutism and kind of that central insulin resistance driven obesity. So those, you know, this oftentimes you can kind of look at a woman and sort of tell that she sort of has that PCOS look. But also there's about 30% of women who have PCOS are thin. So, I think that that can be somewhat misleading. And also, the PCOS is somewhat of a misnomer. So, there are a group of women that, have PCOS and don't have polycystic ovaries. So that's something to consider as well. But, symptoms that are somewhat unusual, and there can be things like dry eye, hearing loss, especially in that sort of high frequency range of hearing loss. That's something that I have PCOS and I experience. Women with PCOS can have different types of skin issues, like boils on their skin. They can have skin tags, which is also tied to insulin resistance. There's just really this whole myriad of symptoms. And I think something that's often overlooked is mood-related symptoms like anxiety and depression and disordered eating patterns as well.
Wow. Yeah. So there's a lot going on, and it's sort of like a confluence of signs and symptoms. I definitely want to get into the mindset piece. I do have a question, though. You said that some people with PCOS don't have polycystic ovary. Can you speak into that a little bit more? Because that might be something for clinicians to tune into to understand when it might be PCOS and it doesn't necessarily appear like it.
Yeah. And so then there's also women with that can have polycystic ovaries that don't have PCOS. So if you are going to make a PCOS diagnosis right now, the sort of kind of overlying diagnostic criteria is the Rotterdam criteria. And that would be two out of three of the following criteria. So one would be the polycystic ovaries, two would be irregular menstrual cycles and ovulation, and the other criteria would be elevated androgens. So you need to have present two out of three to be diagnosed with PCOS.
Got it. So let's get back to this area that might be more mood related in terms of symptoms, but also how we might approach helping people to address PCOS when there are both mood and mindset factors at play. Can you give us a little bit more about your approach into working with women with PCOS around both mood and mindset?
Sure. So, you know, I often hear from women with PCOS who are really frustrated and have lost all hope because the only advice their doctors offer is to lose weight, take a pill, and live with their symptoms. And I was one of those women as well. And I had a doctor once tell me they would have to jump through hoops one day to get me pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I think even that idea of they would have to do that, I sort of was giving away my power. And I think so many women with PCOS are really waiting around for things to get better or for a doctor to prescribe a magic pill. And what I like to tell women is that there really is no magic pill. The birth control pill, metformin, kind of acts as somewhat of a Band-Aid over symptoms. It doesn't really get to the root cause that you're really in charge. And the other thing that I really caution women is that, you know, PCOS isn't your fault, but choosing to be a victim is. Mm-hmm. And I think once you stop playing sort of the victim and take power into your own hands, you start making decisions that make you feel better. And in my experience as a woman with PCOS and working with, at this point, thousands of women, I've seen this kind of overarching theme that women feel like they've lost their sense of femininity. Mm-hmm. So as you know, I was mentioning some of those symptoms earlier, so acne and the hair loss and male pattern hair loss and kind of the facial hair that so many women with PCOS deal with and the obesity, it's kind of, and infertility, it's the main cause of female infertility. You have a sense that you've been robbed of your sense of femininity. And I think that leads to sort of this sense of I am not enough, or, you know, kind of what I call a lack mentality. Mm. And I think that also sort of kind of carries over to this sense of I don't deserve to feel good, or I don't deserve to take care of myself. I think women sort of manifest this lack mentality of I'm not enough. I don't have enough time to take care of myself. I don't have enough money to buy the foods and say supplements that I need or therapies like acupuncture or what have you. I think it's really important for clinicians to kind of talk to their patients and sort of notice if some of this kind of mindset is kind of coming out in conversation. I think that so many women with PCOS are caught in what I call the diet deprivation and mm-hmm. denial mm-hmm. place, and they're using exercise as a form of punishment. mm-hmm. So, And they also tend to be very much kind of type A personalities and perfectionists. If they can't, complete a diet perfectly, then they sort of throw in the towel. Right. And so my work as a health coach and what I do with PCOS Diva is to really help women shift to what I call, a more abundant mindset.
It's really interesting, Amy, and I love what you're talking about. And I think that what I'm always trying to talk to practitioners about, at least the allied functional medicine practitioners, is what I call the tier one and tier two work. And I can imagine that women with PCOS who are going to a clinician who's just working at the tier three, like let's target the dysfunction, would also amplify or validate this idea that something is wrong with the body, as opposed to how do we shift everything and shift the mindset. What I'm hearing from you is that in the tier one realm, which I call the non-negotiables, addressing our mindset and actually knowing we can take care of ourselves without deprivation becomes a non-negotiable. So my question for you is, how do we, given that those are some of the contributing factors that are leading to the signs and symptoms and diagnosis, how do practitioners get out of that solely tier three, dismantle the dysfunction thinking to recognize with their patients that there might need to be some additional support?
Well, I think the first thing that practitioners can do is to just reassure women that their body's not betraying them. It's really, PCOS is just, it's, to me, it's kind of this wake-up call and a sign that your body is out of balance, and it's sort of this call for help. So, you know, learning to stop fighting with your body and instead working in partnership, you know, with your clinician and working in partnership with your body to start recognizing its signals and respond in a more loving and nurturing way. And I think once you can do that, I think you can start making decisions, you know, even like just getting yourself to acupuncture, getting yourself to the gym or to the nutritionist, you know, from a place of nourishment and nurturing and self-care, rather than, you know, a place of
drive, like that, that obsessive drive, like you said, that like perfectionist mentality. And I always think of perfectionism as sort of an inability to take a step forward because you think you won't do it right, as opposed to I have to do everything right. Like sometimes it actually holds us back because we think it all has to be just right or I don't do it at all, kind of like you said. So it's really a step-by-step, take the baby steps to nurture yourself, and that starts to feed you and be part of where we – it's almost like another form of nutrients, you know, that we're bringing in.
And I think it's so important to celebrate with your patients their small triumphs and helping them to see the blessings as well.
Yeah. So where do you see this mindset shift show up in the patient population that you work with at PCOS Diva? And also, how does it end up impacting the signs and symptoms?
Well, I know you know how important nourishing food is. And I mean, it really can just shift everything, right? Yeah. And I think that when women can look at food as a form of nourishment rather than, you know, I can't have this. So that food is medicine. I mean, that's, to me, that's just the most important shift that can make such a huge difference in a way a woman feels. So, you know, I talk about sizzling in the kitchen and getting into the kitchen and cooking real whole food from scratch, and really using food preparation is almost like an act of meditation. You know, and you know, you're loving yourself and your family by cooking this food and helping women realize that meal planning and shopping at the grocery store is really a tremendous act of self-care. So I think once women start really eating nourishing foods, it changes the brain chemistry too. So it helps you shift out of you know, those depressive and anxious moods. And it just helps you keep making positive steps forward.
I love that. And it seems too like it really taps into the stress and resilience that we have to, like you said, keep making those positive steps forward. Does mindset impact like particular symptoms? Do you see that people's mindset is causing more stress and that's causing more pain or more? Do you see a direct correlation that you're able to make physiologically for the people that you work with?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think that sense of lack of, you know, comparing yourself to others and being jealous of, envious of others, especially women who are going through fertility struggles and they're seeing, you know, women, their friends getting pregnant. And it's so, that is such a hard place to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think when you can just, you know, for the instance of comparing yourself to others, just really focus on your own authenticity. And one of the things that I do in my new book is, you know, have people take the like a Myers-Briggs type personality profile or the Sally Hogshead fascination report or, you know, discover my strengths. I mean, I think so many people don't even really know what makes them unique and what strengths are unique to them and that they really need to celebrate it. So, yeah, I use lots of different tools to help people shift from kind of that place of not enough to focusing on, you know, how wonderful they are so that they can start loving themselves so that they can make those positive choices for themselves.
And in terms of that mindset shift, where do you see the role of community? Because I'm imagining that some of what you're talking about is pretty darn isolating.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, community is so important. And women with PCOS are frankly kind of embarrassed. You know, they're embarrassed about their symptoms. They don't often want to talk to their, even, you know, their doctor about it or their family. So community is so important, to find a group of like-minded women who, you know, are tired of PCOS controlling them. You know, they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and the same old, you know, therapies just aren't working, and they're ready to try something new. There's such power in a community like that.
Yeah, I agree. Amy, I'm so grateful that you're doing this work with this community of people who are struggling in this way and really giving them back their power, which is what you're talking about. Is there anything else in relation to mindset and PCOS that we didn't cover that you want to make sure practitioners know to think into?
To summarize, you know, just really, women need to partner with their bodies. They need to focus on the abundance and the blessings of their life. They need to focus on progress, not perfection. Really savoring and being present in the moment really helps with that anxiety that so many women feel. And I think most importantly, nourishing and nurturing themselves, realizing that caring for yourself isn't selfish. It's really a way to change your life for the better, that you are a priority and you deserve to feel good.
I really appreciate that, Amy. And one thing that's coming to mind for me that I just want to underscore here, especially when we talk about type A women who have perfectionist tendencies, is that as practitioners, we tend to overload our clients and patients with lots of things that they can do. And I would say this is a population where you really do need to break it down and take it step by step so that people can do it perfectly to their liking and find a way that's sustainable, as opposed to feeling like they had a whole list of to-dos and they couldn't do it all and so they failed. So I don't know if that's something you'd agree with in terms of mindset, but it's a problem I see come up a lot with practitioners that I train, that they give too many to-dos at once. And that's where somebody who has perfectionist tendencies is going to do all or nothing.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, women with PCOS just don't feel good. And it's just so overwhelming. They're so fatigued. They have brain fog. They don't feel well. So to have, you know, this whole laundry list of things that they have to do, it puts you in overwhelm. So a lot of times I'll tell my clients, you know, if you just drink more water and eat more, you know, vegetables,
yeah,
you're going to feel so much better. And then then you can progress from there. I tell clients that it's this continuum of healing. You know, you never get to a point where you're cured of PCOS. It's just a continuous journey.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just keep moving forward and realizing that healing takes so much more than taking a pill, going on a low carb diet, and going to a gym. We need to connect with our bodies and ourselves in a more loving way. And only then are we going to be able to willingly and joyfully make those small day-to-day diet and lifestyle choices that heal our bodies and our minds and our souls, you know, for a lifetime.
So beautifully said, Amy. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's just such a pleasure.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, on sound production, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can always visit us and hear more great episodes at 15minutematrix.com, where you can also grab your completed Functional Nutrition Matrix that accompanies each and every episode. And if you want us to notify you each time there's a new podcast, you can go to 15minutematrix.com/notify, enter your name and your email, and we'll just send you a short email every time there is a new episode. Speaking of email, we'd love for you to email us and let us know who you'd like to hear on the podcast and what you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. You can email us at ask@15minutematrix.com. That's ask@15minutematrix.com. Thanks so much for listening.